The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 103 begins in the first verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." The first and most important benefit for which we should bless the Lord is he forgives all your iniquities. Forgiveness stands first in the host of God's mercies. We never enjoy a mercy as a mercy from God until we receive the forgiveness of our sins. This evening we look at the fifth great benefit for which we should bless the Lord. Christ satisfies your mouth with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to stir up our own soul and to remind ourselves to bless the Lord for yet another benefit that flows from his forgiveness of our sins. He satisfies your mouth with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. First, what is the good that he satisfies you with? It is good which refreshes and satisfies your body and your soul and renews and restores your physical and spiritual strength. The Lord gives us good that we take into our being, which satisfies us and gives us spiritual nourishment. What is this good? Proverbs chapter 8 and 9 speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God. We read in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, 'Whoever is simple, let him turn in here.' As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding.'" Wisdom has prepared a banquet and calls people to come and eat and drink of that feast. Wisdom says to those who come, "Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." The Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom, in whom there is eternal life. Scripture often says that wisdom gives life because Christ gives life. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord says, "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Speaking of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, the Lord says, "For whoever finds me," that is wisdom, "finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." If you come to Christ, who is the wisdom of God, he will give you eternal life. And he will feed your soul and renew your heart. Do you want life? Do you want more life? Do you want life more abundantly? Do you want life forever and ever, without end? Come to Christ. Lay hold of him. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. He is life. And he has prepared a marriage supper a wedding feast, and he calls you to come and to partake of him. He has life in and of himself. He is the bread from heaven. If you eat of him, you will never hunger again. He is the living water. If you drink of him, you will never thirst again. This is what the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles represented and pointed to and taught about. In John chapter 7, Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And we read in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said the same thing to the Samaritan woman who came to draw water out of Jacob's well. John 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This is one way that Christ satisfies you with good. Another way Christ satisfies you with good is by giving you his word. Christ is the word of God. He gives you himself. He gives you the word of life. He gives you the word that he has spoken to satisfy you with good. Christ reveals himself to us in his word. We know him by his word. If you are languishing, if you are spiritually exhausted, if you are worn out, if you are spiritually starving, what will refresh you? What will revive your spiritual life? What will renew you so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? What will satisfy you and nourish you? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ can satisfy the deepest need and longing of your soul. No other person, no other thing can satisfy you with good. No other person, no other thing can renew your youth like the eagles. You need Jesus. You need to come to him and put your trust in him. You need to feed daily upon him. You need to have communion, fellowship with him as he created you to have. You need to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You need Christ to save you and to feed you as only he is able to do. Christ gives himself to us and feeds us through his word. What the world can give you will never satisfy your soul. It might entertain you. It might give you pleasure. But the pleasure of this world is sinful and brings guilt. With that guilt comes despair and destruction and death. You will never find true satisfaction in anything, anywhere in the world. The only way to satisfy your soul, the only way to satisfy the deepest need and longing of your heart, is to feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Christ satisfies your mouth with good through Christ, who is the Word of God incarnate. In the Old Testament, the Lord uses the image of eating God's Word. God's Word is food for the soul. We read a few moments ago from the prophet Jeremiah. chapter 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I found your words, and I ate them. He's not talking about physical eating. Eating a book or scroll. He's talking about spiritually eating the words of God. It takes work and it takes diligence and it takes resources to provide food for your body. It takes time to prepare good and delicious and nutritious food. When you prepare food for others, you want to make it right. You want it to have the right smell, the right taste. You want it to be good and beneficial for those who eat it. That is what we do with food for our body. When it comes to the soul, there's little scrutiny, little smelling. We take things into our soul that are rotten, that are putrid. We take unhealthy things into our soul. We take into the soul the same way the world does. It does not benefit the world, and yet we do the same things that the world does, and we have the same results in our spiritual life. How can we grow spiritually? How can we be satisfied? How can we be nourished? How can we be renewed so that our strength and our life is re-energized, revived? We have to feed upon Christ, the Word of God. Your soul is going to live forever. You put effort into providing food for your body, which is dying. What about your soul? That will live forever or die forever. Your soul influences and affects your whole being. It influences your body. It influences your inner man. It affects your outer man. Food for your soul is even more important than the food you eat to nourish your body. To feed your immortal soul with good and nourishing food requires time, work, and money. You must scrutinize the look, the smell, the taste, and the wholesomeness of food for your soul. The world feeds the soul and spends time, money, and work. The world feeds the soul what is rotting, what is unhealthy, and it leads to death. Why do young people with money and with success in this world kill themselves? It has to do with the soul. Things are coming into their soul and twisting their soul and destroying both body and soul. We live in a convoluted age. People are ignorant of what is good for the soul. In Jeremiah chapter 15, the prophet says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Your word strengthened me. Your word fed my soul with good. Your word made my soul rejoice. It filled me with happiness. The scripture pictures the word of God as food for the soul. The word of God is a blessing and benefit to the soul. It gives health to the soul. It gives life to the soul. It is sweet to the soul. It is more precious than much fine gold. Psalm 19 verse 10 says we should desire the word of God more than gold, yes, more than much fine gold. If we had gold here, and I said, come and get it, you would be here instantly, filling your pockets with it. If I say, here is the word of God, come and get it, you say, I'll come later. Why? Because you do not esteem the word of God as more precious than anything else in all the world. Christ is that pearl of greatest price for which we should sell everything we have in order to have him. The best thing to feed upon is the word of God. It is one of the good things that Christ gives us. It is one of the good things that Christ puts in your mouth. It is one of the good things that satisfies your soul. It is one of the good things that renews your youth like the eagles. It is more precious than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Psalm 19 continues, God's word is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Honey is pleasant to the taste. God's word is likened to honey, which is sweet. God's word is even sweeter for the soul than honey is for the mouth. In Psalm 119, verse 103, the Lord says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God's word is sweeter than honey to the soul. The Lord told Ezekiel to eat the words that God gave him in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you." So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. God has given us a book. Are you devouring it? Part of this book is milk. It is easy to digest for the newest babe in Christ. This book will nourish and strengthen your soul. Part of this book is meat, and it challenges the strongest of God's people. The Lord Jesus has prepared a table or a feast before us. Come and study. Feed on Christ. Receive Christ and His Word. It is good for your soul. It is sweet. It is precious. It is beneficial. It is edifying. It builds you up. It is satisfying. Over and over and over again, God's Word says it is food for the soul. It is sweeter than honey and more precious than much fine gold. Christ nourishes and refreshes your soul unto everlasting life. You must take the Word of God into your heart and life in order for it to satisfy your mouth with good. That is the problem for those in the world. The world does not come to the Word of God because they are spiritually dead. They are spiritually blind. They are ignorant of the worth, the value of this feast. The world does not come to the Word of God because they are deaf. The Word of God is calling you to come to the feast. The Word of God is calling you to come and eat of Christ. Learn of Him. Fill your soul with the Lord Jesus. The world is deaf. They cannot hear. The world is lame. The marriage feast is prepared, but their legs will not take them there. John writes in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said to Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, a Pharisee who came to him by night, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The people of this world do not want to submit themselves to Christ. They do not want to acknowledge the darkness that is in them. They do not want life on God's terms. Many of God's people have the attitude of the blind, the deaf, and the lame. They become proud in themselves. The word of God is closed to them. The word of Christ that gives life, the word of Christ that is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, the word of Christ that is more precious than gold, sits on a shelf collecting dust. The word of God is food for the soul. But until you take the word of Christ into your heart and mind, it will not feed you. How does Christ give life through his word? Read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is living because God who speaks it is living. The word of Christ has life because Christ Jesus has life in and of himself, and he gives life to the dead. No other book on earth has life because no other book is the word of Christ, who is life. God is the source of life. He gives his word life. And the word is life. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God discerns, knows your thoughts and mine. It knows the intents of your heart and mine. John chapter 6, verses 63 through 65, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." You must be regenerated by the Spirit of God in order to have life instead of death. The Spirit gives life, and that life is found in the word of Christ. The words of Christ are spirit, and they are life, and yet the word of Christ is ignored. People close their ears to it and will not listen. The Lord says in Psalm 119, verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." I'm not going to forget your precepts. Why? Because you give me life with your word. Christ is the Lord and the giver of life. And Christ uses his word as the seed, as the means by which he gives the dead life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm not going to forget your precepts. I'm not going to forget your word, because you've given me life through your word. We should pray when we open God's word, "Lord, give me life." We should pray when we come to the house of God, Lord, give me life. It's not the preacher, but Christ himself through his word and through his spirit who gives life. We should come to the house of God eagerly and expectantly that this is another opportunity for me to receive life and to receive life more abundantly. I know that God, by his Holy Spirit, will open his word to me by the faithful preaching of his word, and Christ will give me life through it. I long to feed upon Christ and his word more than my daily food. Every verse in Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the entire Bible, praises God for his word. 176 verses. Psalm 119, verse 164 says, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. He asks God, 154, I'm sorry, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me, or give me life according to your word. He asks God to quicken him, to give him life throughout this psalm over and over again. If we are spiritually alive, we will ask God for life. We will pray daily that he gives us life. The one who does not ask God for life is spiritually dead. They think they can do just fine in the flesh with their own intellect, their own wisdom. They do not realize that they desperately need spiritual life from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that God gives that life through his word. Why do we need quickening? Why do we need to be made alive? Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When your soul is dry, when it is like a desert, when you lack the moisture of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your soul, what do you need? You need revived. You need quickened. Lord, quicken me according to your word. Come and use your word to stir up that life in me through Jesus Christ, your Son. The Spirit of God breathed out the Word of God, and he is the one who opens the heart. He opens the mind. He opens the soul to receive the Word of Christ, and he gives you life through giving you the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, what do you need? You need Christ to revive you. You need Christ to quicken you according to his word. In Psalm 119, verse 107, the Lord says, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. When you are afflicted, when you are weighed down, pray that Christ would revive you, that he would quicken you according to his word. Lord, give me life to endure these trials. Give me life in order that I might persevere in this difficulty. Where do you get life? Christ gives you life in your affliction. The Lord says, revive me according to your word. Plead my cause and redeem me, in verse 154. When you're being attacked by an adversary, like Satan attacked Job, like Satan attacked Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3. Pray that God will deliver you. Pray that he will revive you according to his word. When you're being worn down by Satan or by people who are fighting against Christ and against you, pray, Lord, plead my cause. Be my advocate. Come and redeem me. Revive me. How? According to your word. The word of Christ has life. It strengthens the soul. The Lord has prepared a sumptuous feast before us in his word. Read it. Study it. Read all of it. Study all of it. Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis to Revelation. Devour the Word of Christ in Scripture. When you spiritually hunger, open the Word and feed upon Christ who speaks by the Spirit in every page and in every passage. When you need spiritual strength and your soul needs to be renewed, open the Scriptures. Open the Word of Christ and feed upon the Lord Jesus. He is a well of life, bubbling over. Drink of it freely. As Jesus said during the Feast of Tabernacles, in John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We have more Bibles in this country than we have ever had. And we are more spiritually ignorant than we have ever been. The problem in this country is spiritual. People are not willing to open God's Word and read it, study it, meditate upon it, devour it. People are not willing to come and hear the preaching, the exposition, the application of the Word of God, that their soul might be fed and their mouth might be satisfied with good, so that their youth is renewed like the eagles. How does God want us to use His Word in our lives? When we feed upon the Word of Christ, then we also give out the Word of Christ to those around us. Speak the Word of Christ to those around you. God puts His Word in you so that you might testify of it to others in this world. God's Word separates us from the world. The Lord says in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 17, I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. The Word of Christ makes you different in your speech, in your dress, in your actions, where you go and what you do. It will make your life like Christ, and therefore different from the world. God's Word will also bring sorrow to your soul because of the sin of men and women and children in this world around us. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 10, the Apostle John writes, Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. It was bitter in his stomach because of the sinfulness of the nations and the kings and the rulers living in rebellion against the Lord and against his Christ. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 18, the prophet says, Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? When you feed upon Christ, you're going to see things differently. You're going to know that many are on that broad path, that broad road that leads to hell. You're going to know that many preachers are not preaching Christ, the only gospel of God's grace for sinners. That's going to pain your soul. There are people on their way to hell. No matter how much you talk to them and pray for them, they're not coming back from that journey. They're going to keep going into everlasting perdition. That causes sorrow. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is necessary to feed your soul, including the judgment of God upon sinners. Others will not weep, but you will weep. Others will not be concerned about their children, but you are concerned. Why? Because you know the terrible judgment of God upon those who are outside of Christ. The Lord declares in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back, and you shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them." The Word of God separates the precious from the vial. If you're going to preach God's Word, you must separate the precious from the vial. Many preachers in this country do not separate the precious from the vial. They're not the mouth of God. If you're going to speak God's Word, you will separate the precious from the vial. The wicked cannot return to God. Or the wicked can return to God, but we cannot return to them on that road to destruction. You have been changed. You have been called out of this world. As you devour the Word of Christ, Christ will feed your soul. He will satisfy you with good. He will refresh and renew your heart, and it will make you different. And God will use that difference to allow you to speak to those who are around you. He's going to make you different. What are some ways that we should apply this in our lives? Bless the Lord. Praise Him that He's given us His Word in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a delight. How refreshing. What precious words of life. If you come to the Word of Christ with faith, each time, Christ, by His Spirit, will feed your soul and nourish you and renew your life. That is great reason to bless the Lord. There's nothing else on earth that will do this. It's only Christ, through His Word, by the anointing of His Spirit. There's a feast for your soul in God's Word. Open the book. Let God feed you. You'll find it sweet to your taste. It will give you life. It will give you life more abundantly. It will transform your life into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word. The wisdom. The life of God for sinners. If you do not have the life of Christ in you, come to Jesus today. Put your trust in Him. Repent of your sin. He will wash you clean. And He will give you His own righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name, who satisfies your mouth with good things, who renews your youth like the eagles. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for these benefits, great benefits, amazing benefits that You give. May we not forget them. May we stir up our souls to bless You for them. May we make use of these benefits for our own spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. Father, we thank You that You, through Your Son, satisfy our mouth with good. You renew our youth like the eagles. And we thank You, Father, that You give us, the Lord Jesus, Your wisdom, Your righteousness, Your Word, Your life. With Him You feed our souls. Lord, may we have a good appetite. May we hunger and thirst for Christ. May we open your word and read it. May we memorize it and meditate upon it. May we speak it. May it be on our lips. May we testify of your grace and of the judgment upon those who do not repent of their sin. The judgment that is sure to come. Father, we pray that you will revive your church. Revive your people. Strengthen them spiritually. Set them apart as different from the world. Not that they might be lifted up in pride, but that they might be humbled. That you should give them life. That you should feed them. That you should be their portion. And Father, may your people, each and every one, pray for and seek the salvation of those who are outside of Christ, that they too may come and eat of that great feast that is prepared. May be united to the Savior and may be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ of those amazing benefits and blessings that shall have no end. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.